Georgia or Alabama? Which one will Tennessee knock off in 2022? Matt Hayes, college football personality, believes Tennessee will pull off one of those upsets. Georgia or Alabama? What say you, and which one could realistically happen? That more coming up on a Thursday show.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Vols, your go-to Tennessee Volunteers podcast each and every weekday. It's available every single morning on YouTube or wherever you find your podcast. It's your first listen, it's your first watch, and it's a part of your routines, and I can't thank you enough for that. If you're new to the show, hopefully it will be a part of your new routine as we talk Tennessee football, Tennessee athletics, really, each and every weekday. Got a fun show coming up today, I really, really do, and What a question, right? Can Tennessee knock off Alabama or Georgia? Someone's predicting that to happen, and we'll tell you here in just a little bit. But we're going to revisit that conversation on what VFL stands for. What's VFL mean to you? Tons and tons of interaction on Twitter, on the YouTube page, and I want to get to what you guys said because I think all you guys brought some great points to the table. So we're going to do that, have the upset conversation. And then something I've been wanting to hit on all week long, who's the best backup quarterback in the SEC? I think Joe Milton's got a case there, and you never want to think like that, but it's a reality of college football, right? A lot of times you have to go to your backup signal caller, and if Tennessee is forced to go and do that like it has in years past, how well-positioned are the Volunteers? So that's a little bit what we're going to get into today here on Locked On Vols. And of course, you find this podcast each and every day at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols on Twitter. I'm Eric Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I write for the Rival site covering the University of Tennessee. Let's go ahead and get into some of these comments. This is on posted on yesterday's YouTube page, the comment section. I'm just going to go and read through some of the things that you guys had to say because, again, I really, really did enjoy it. This is from Steven. Steven says, I have faithfully been a complete fan through good or not since the 1960s. If that doesn't count, then what does? GBO. I understand that. Dustin says, VFL is a little confusing, but I believe as a fan, if you've been with the team through Pruitt, Butch, Dooley, and Kiffin, then you are a true VFL. Sony says, not certain how to feel about defining of a VFL. Understand the debate. Absolutely agree with the open to interpretation in regards to personal opinion. Difficult to quantify for myself. Personally, I've been a Raiders fan for 4 decades, and that organization has always had the motto, once a Raider, always a Raider. So I'll leave it at this. I'm skimming down a little bit. He says, simply, once a Volunteer, always a Volunteer. Then he puts in parentheses, unless your name is Lane Kiffin, of course. I think a lot of us would agree with that. G. Smith says, college football team I ever watched was the Vols since 1995. I was 10 years old. I became a VFL in 96. I never wavered. To me, if you love and stick with your team through thick and thin, then you are a fan for life. That's right in my opinion right there. Give my all for Tennessee today, says anyone who gives their all for Tennessee, fitting name, without hesitation with any other fan base or alumni, 100% love Tennessee, 100% heart. 2 things I don't miss, ex-wife and a UT football game. Brent says, I didn't go to UT, neither did my parents. I'm not from Knoxville. I'm born and raised in Nashville, but I was born into the family. I'm a diehard. I'm part of the UT fan base. Being born into that type of family, it's never been an option to be a fan of another team. I wanted to because I was exposed to it from day one. I wouldn't change anything. From being a VFL is something I feel is both for the fans and the players. It's more of a loyalty thing than anything else, in my opinion. Anyone who, if you cut them, they bleed orange, is a true VFL. Volunteered 77. I'm from Northern Kentucky, right outside Cincinnati. I grew up in the hardcore Kentucky fan household, but moved to Tennessee at the age of 20 and spent about 15 years in Knoxville area. And I'm a diehard Vol fan all the way. I didn't go to UT, unfortunately. I wasn't born in Tennessee, but I consider myself a VFL. I watch, attend, listen to all sporting events for Tennessee and believe I've earned that honorary title of VFL. I enjoy your content, information you provide us. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of fans. I mean, you don't have to be born in Tennessee. You don't have to be in the Knoxville area to be a Tennessee fan, certainly. Again, I grew up in East Tennessee. I grew up in Jefferson County. It's about, 40 minutes away from downtown Knoxville. I grew up going to Tennessee football games. I grew up watching the University of Tennessee. I didn't go to Tennessee. I didn't play at Tennessee. I cover Tennessee now, there's so many other people like me and like you that might not have grown up in Tennessee or in Knoxville for that matter. That has nothing to do if you're a Tennessee fan. So talking interpretations of the phrase VFL Vol for Life, this is getting good. This is from Josh. I don't know, man. I'm from Georgia, grew up here, played football at a small college in Missouri, but I've been a Vol fan my whole life. My son's nursery is all orange with Tennessee memorabilia littering the walls. I have very little clothing that doesn't have the Power T on it. I watch every game on Saturday or Thursday. I've lived through every era of good and bad coaching, never wavered. I constantly get belittled or berated because I live in Georgia and I'm surrounded by dumbass Georgia fans. I consider myself a VFL. If you are repping the Power T every single day in the heart of Georgia, you deserve that title, in my opinion. Well done, Josh. Larry says, I personally feel that I'm a Vol for life. I went for a year, left to join the Army, and never went back. That being said, I've been a Vol fan since my first game in 1976 that I went to. Repped my team while living in Florida for 20 years. When I came back home to Tennessee, I've been to 100-plus football, women's basketball, probably close to 100 men's basketball games, where I wear the gear, cheer for the team, and I will die, and I will continue to until I die. I mean, that's, again, sounds like a Tennessee fan to me. So these are just interpretations of what VFL truly means. Brent says, actually, UT underscore Punkin says, I guess there are two tiers of what a VFL is, in my opinion. VFL for the players and VFFL for the fans, of all fan for life. I moved here from Germany and became a Vol fan in 2001. My older brother was the first UT ROTC graduate to be, since Vietnam. Had two more younger brothers graduate from UT, join the Army. Saw Coach Fulmer lose to Wyoming while sitting in Section D. Well, that was not a very good game. Steve says, I'm 47 years old. I've been in the Valley my entire life. I'm a second-generation UT K grad from 01. Hell, my sister marched, and before we marched on Saturdays at Neyland, cokes and programs making me reflect. I love this region called East Tennessee. Also, he says, I can't keep my eyes dry when the Pride of the Southland marching band marches out. Smokey leads my boys to the tee on Saturday night. There's so many people like that. And again, that's where I struggle with saying that, you know, someone's not a quote-unquote VFL when you get that emotional about your favorite team, right? Just like Steve. He said, I look at all VFLs. Is your heart in it? You're in like Flynn. Let's see here. Give my all for Tennessee today. Goes on and says, I'm a Vol for life, y'all. Bleed orange and white, y'all. Till the day I die, y'all. I'm a Vol for life. Yeah, that's a song somewhere. And then Chris mentions, anyone remember TV antennas? Well, satellite TV was about 30 years ago in my hometown. And internet, where I, you know, lives on only on satellites. Western North Carolina sucks for even that. 2022, our antenna picked up a station out of Knoxville, 500 yards away. South Carolina came in best. I only ever watched the Vols, and for some reason, Houston Oilers football games growing up. Yeah, later Tennessee Titans. I played Little League football with Sean Bryson at 8 or maybe 10 years old. He had already been in sports magazines for football. Our team always sucked. Sean never did. Caught the first TD in the national championship game, or 98 championship. I'm not a VFL. Sean is. That's a player thing. I'm a fan only. Just glad for that 500 yards of antenna service, LOL. Not Clemson or South Carolina are bad, but they just ain't Tennessee. So Chris says, hey, it's a player thing. So again, it depends on who you ask, and that's why I love this conversation. I mean, I'm reading off what you guys have been sending me the last couple of days, and everyone's got some type of different opinion about it. NateBall8Fit16 says, VFL is anyone who supports the Vols for life. Let's see here. Got a couple more. Mark says, oh, nope, that's not about that. Apologies. We're continuing on. We have Jason that says, you had to have started and ended your career at Tennessee. If you transfer, then you're not a VFL. Someone reached out to me on Facebook and said, hey, what about Derek Rogers? And then what about Cordero Patterson? They didn't finish their playing career at Tennessee. They left early. One to go to the NFL, one got kicked off. Are they VFLs? I would say Cordero Patterson, in my interpretation, Cordero Patterson would be a VFL because he left and was a first-round pick. Derek Rogers was got in trouble and was kicked off the team, so I wouldn't consider that VFL status. So, again, I told you we'd overflow the conversation onto today's show, and thank you guys so much for making this one of the most interactive Locked On Vols episodes that we've ever had. So, thank you so much. What's a VFL mean to you? It can mean a number of different things. You can consider yourself a VFL. Maybe you consider just players VFLs. I had a player that we talked to yesterday that we heard on the show say he considers only players to be VFLs. And I had another player say that simply if you love the orange, you're a VFL. So it's very interesting. I've no right or wrong answer. As long as you're supporting the team, I guess it doesn't really matter. But I thought that was very, very interesting. So, guys, thank you so much for the interaction. And I'm glad to read off your comments here on the show. Hey, coming up, a major upset, Tennessee in 2022. Can Tennessee knock off Alabama or Georgia? Somebody believes that Tennessee will knock off one of those two juggernaut teams. We'll tell you when Lockdown Vols returns. Bet Online is your number one source for your sports betting stats and information. If you're looking for a futures bet for Tennessee to knock off one of those two teams, you can do it at betonline.net. You can find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's basketball championship matchup, NHL Hockey Conference Finals, Major League Baseball, and, of course, the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC all the way to boxing. BetOnline.net, your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and a whole lot more. So, today, you can head on over to the website, or you can use that mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. The Ultimate NBA Mock Draft starts June the 16th. With over 50 insiders, nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. The Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts plus Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June the 16th. Search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a pick. Of course, the NBA Draft coming up here later this month or later this summer. And Kennedy Chandler, is he going to be a first-rounder? I believe that he will be a first-rounder, but where exactly will he go? Maybe those guys can give you a little bit of an inclination. All right, so, you know, Paul Feinbaum Show. Okay, it is the Jerry Springer of sports shows, correct? You get the who's who's and, you know, calling in. I know a lot of you guys like to watch the show, and it's not necessarily nothing against Paul. I have no issue with him whatsoever. You know, we don't know each other on a personal level, of course. You know, who am I in his eyes, right? Dude's a millionaire. That's not my cup of tea in terms of sports talk radio. I know it's on television as well, but it started as a radio show. That is not my cup of tea. That is not the content that I want to get out here. That is craziness, and it's lazy in my opinion. But nonetheless, you get everybody that calls in, and it makes it kind of what it is, right? It's grown into a juggernaut. It's grown into a monster, and you can't deny that. Also, Paul does a really, really good job of getting some great guests on. He's a really, really good interviewer. And Matt Hayes, a media personality in Jacksonville, Florida, very, very well known in college football circles. He joined the show, I guess it was on Tuesday, and he flat out said, "Hey, I believe the Tennessee Volunteers in 2022 will pull off one major upset, either Alabama or Georgia." Either Alabama or Georgia. You heard me, right? What do you think about that? Can Tennessee pull off an upset against either Alabama at home or Georgia on the road? I'm going to be real with you guys. One thing I hope that you guys respect about me, I know it probably gets on your nerves sometimes, but I will never waver. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think, and I'm going to tell you I'm never, ever, ever going to try to sugarcoat anything. I try not to be hateful. I try not to be out to get anybody. I certainly just try to be fair, right? I don't think Tennessee beats Alabama or Georgia this year. Doesn't mean it can't happen. The beautiful thing about Josh Heupel's offense is, with that offense, the way it's clicking, the way it's humming, the way it scores points, you have a chance to be in any game and to knock off any team, all right? You just need a couple things to go your way, right? I mean, think about last year at Alabama. Yes, I know the final score was what it was, but I was there, guys. I covered that game. Tennessee in the fourth quarter had a chance to, you know, really, really, really make it a three-point game, or, you know, bring it into a really close game. And then ultimately, a failed fourth down conversion here, they score. Got to go for it on fourth down, throws a pick, they score, yada, yada, yada. It turns out to be what it is. But with Josh Heupel's offense, you can maneuver yourself and get yourself in position to, you know, be in any football game in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, say you make one big third or fourth down stop here, come up with one interception here, you know, one big special teams play here, you're one of those plays away from knocking off an upset. So can it happen? Absolutely it can happen. Will it happen? In my opinion, in 2022, no, it will not. Alabama, I'm not breaking any news here. You've got the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback returning in Bryce Young. You've got a talented offensive line despite losing a couple to the NFL draft. You got good defense as always. You've got the best football player in America, Will Anderson Jr., in my opinion, off the edge. Alabama is going to be your standard Alabama team. And with all the controversy surrounding Nick Saban this offseason, I guarantee you that they're going to be out for vengeance, you know, once again, and doing Alabama things. That game will be at Neyland Stadium. So if you want to pick one of the two, Tennessee would have home field advantage for that contest, if that waivers anything for you. Now, let's talk about Georgia. Georgia, the reigning national champions. Georgia will come down this year. Georgia will not win a national championship this year. Georgia lost about 10 draft picks on the defensive side of the football, right? It's run by a intramural, you know, style quarterback in Stetson Bennett. I hate on Stetson Bennett so much, and I don't know why. I root for him. As a sports fan, I root for him. He is killing it as a sports personality. I don't understand it. Georgia has got so many talented quarterbacks on that roster, and we will get to that here in segment three, but, you know, any quarterback or any team quarterback by Stetson Bennett, you're going to have a chance to hang around that football game. Let me just put it bluntly that way. But Georgia will be on the road. It'll be between the hedges. Now, if you're picking one of the two teams for Tennessee to potentially pull an upset over, right, it's got to be Georgia. And I'll tell you why, all right? It's because Georgia will score about, you know, a touchdown to two touchdowns less than what Alabama will. Maybe even more, right? Or maybe even less than that. Georgia will have a slower pace offensively. Georgia will try to run the football because it has a crappy quarterback. Georgia will rely on that defense. That's Kirby Smart football, right? And that's, and when you can, you can. I mean, that's my style of football. I love that style of football. But, you know, when Jeremy Pruitt tried to do it here at Tennessee, that's you didn't have the horses. Simply, you just didn't have the horses whatsoever, and you had a crappy quarterback. So, you know, that's Georgia style football. Tennessee can stay in that game a lot longer because of the style of football that Tennessee plays. Tennessee can stay in that football game a lot longer. And so that's why I would pick Georgia. If I'm picking for Tennessee to knock off one of the two teams, it would be Georgia, in my opinion. Now, again, anything can happen. What say you? If Tennessee is able to pull off an upset in 2022, will it be against Alabama or will it be against Georgia? Now, having said that, what if Tennessee pulls off one of those upsets in 2022? Does that mean Tennessee wins 10 games in 2022? I don't believe so, and here's why. Football has got a way of humbling yourself, right? Texas A&M, for example, beat Alabama with Zach Calzada as its quarterback last year. What was Texas A&M's record? 8-4? Anybody? Bueller? Texas A&M was still not a good football team. You mean to tell me Tennessee's still going to beat Pittsburgh on the road, beat Florida for only the second time in God knows how many years, 17, 18 years? You're going to beat all those toss-up teams in Kentucky, in LSU, those two big-time football games. You mean to tell me Tennessee's going to win all those other games that it's supposed to? I don't think so. I mean, yeah, you can get hot. You can be on a high and win one of those football games. But at the end of the day, your football team's going to be exposed for what it is. And I think this football team is a good, solid football team. I think it'll be a good offensive football team with a good quarterback. I think that it will still lack in depth in some areas. I think that it will want to rely on the run game a little bit more than it probably can, just because you don't have the horses in the backfield, durability issues. I think defensively it will be improved, but I still think it will not be great. So I think that's what Tennessee's football team will be in 2022, and we'll have to see exactly how it shapes up in camp and all that. And, you know, maybe there's an All-American back there lurking in the defensive backfield. Maybe there's a Theo Jackson hidden in the body of a Theo and a Trayvon Flowers this year. That's the hope, right, Tennessee fans? Maybe Byron Young can step up and be just that stud off the edge. Maybe Jeremy Banks can take a step and be even better at linebacker. We'll see. You got some pieces there, but I do believe that defense will be a little bit better, okay? That's what I think Tennessee football is in 2022. I think that's kind of the blueprint for what this football team is. If Tennessee were to knock off one of those two teams and pull off a massive upset, I still don't believe Tennessee's going to be, you know, the Ole Miss of last year, win 10 games and go to a New Year's Six bowl game. I just don't think that's the case. But what it would be was it would be a marquee win that you can look back on and say, okay, in year number two in Josh Heupel, you won more games, you had a big upset win that you weren't supposed to win, and see, that's how you're building to year number three. Let's look back at Jeremy Pruitt's tenure. For as bad as it was, think about 2018, his first year. He knocked off Kentucky, who was a top 10 team at the time, and yes, I know it's Kentucky, everybody rolls their eyes, but I don't care. Kentucky was a good football team, had a first-round draft pick coming off the edge, had the best running back in program history in Benny Snell Jr. That was a good Kentucky team. Tennessee won at home and beat Kentucky. Tennessee also went on the road to the Plains and knocked off Auburn in 2018. Jeremy Pruitt's first year was 5-7, but he had two marquee wins that year that you can look back on and say, oh, wow, okay, those were two big wins for Jeremy Pruitt. it was all for naught when in 2019 you started off the season 0-2 with a loss to Georgia State and a giveaway to BYU, but then you ended the season winning all those games you were supposed to, and then, of course, in 2020 it went all to hell. But those were two wins you can point back on in Jeremy Pruitt's first year and say, wow, those were two wins. Those were milestone-building wins for Jeremy Pruitt. Josh Heupel, as great as it was in year number one, I'm not trying to diminish what happened last year, because I thought what happened last year was great. Turning the program around, offense top 10 in the country, all that type of stuff. My point is, you still didn't have a marquee win to where, oh wow, the Vols won that game. They were two touchdown underdogs in that game. Tennessee didn't have one of those games. Okay, it lost to Pitt. It lost to Ole Miss. It beat Kentucky as it was supposed to. It beat all the toss-up games and all that, but it didn't beat Georgia. It didn't beat Alabama. You know what I'm saying? So one of those upsets would obviously be one that you look back on and say, and Josh Heupel senior, oh man, year number two, they took strides. They won two more games than they were supposed to. That offensive right where it was, the defense got better. And oh yeah, they beat Georgia between the hedges. They beat Georgia on the road. Yeah, I mean, so that's what that would be. So interesting to think about. I don't think it'll happen year number two. I'm going to shoot you straight. But I've been wrong before. I don't prove to be perfect. I've been wrong before. We will see. Matt Hayes of he's on the radio station down there in Jacksonville, Florida, a big time college football personality. He believes Tennessee will knock off either Alabama or Georgia this upcoming football season. What say you? Do you think Tennessee can knock off one of those two teams? And if so, which one and why? _Caner and at Locked On Vols. All right, we're going to come back and tie a bow on this Thursday edition of the show, and we're going to talk about backup quarterbacks in the SEC when Locked On Vols returns. Got another question for you. Who is the best backup quarterback in the SEC? Nobody wants to be in this mindset. Nobody wants to bank your future on a backup quarterback. But hey, reality of it is, you need to prepare to have a couple quarterbacks ready to go. It's the nature of the beast, right? I mean, it's goodness. I mean, it's Southeastern Conference football. It's college football. Think of how many years Tennessee's had to rely on multiple quarterbacks. Last year had to rely on multiple quarterbacks. And look at the draw. You had Hendon Hooker sitting there ready to break out once he came in that Pittsburgh game and kind of took over from there. Hopefully, Hendon Hooker will stay upright this year. Hopefully, Hendon Hooker will be okay this year. But if he were to go down and miss some extended period of times, if there's a game on the line like Ole Miss last year, when a backup quarterback has to come in and try to win you a football game, where does Tennessee stack up in regards to other quarterbacks around the SEC? This is something I talked to off-air in our group chat with the other locked-on SEC hosts. I said, hey, guys, got a question, trying to figure out where Joe Milton ranks up in this conversation. Who's the best backup quarterback in the Southeastern Conference? And a lot of these guys, I mean, Milton was probably in the top three for a lot of these guys, but ultimately, it kind of comes down to teams who are having quarterback battles heading into camp, heading into the season. And I agree with that, because they got a couple of guys that I feel like could be pretty good starters, and whichever one doesn't win that job would be the backup. Let's take Texas A&M, for example. You got Haynes King, formerly what's his name? Jim Chaney. Jim Chaney wanted him here bad. Jim Chaney did not want Harrison Bailey, okay? Jim Chaney wanted Haynes King. Wanted Haynes King bad. And ultimately, Haynes King decided to go to Texas A&M. He was the starter last year, got hurt. Zach Calzada comes in, knocks off Alabama, transfers, yada, yada. Max Johnson goes from LSU in the offseason to Texas A&M, and it's going to be a Haynes King-Max Johnson battle in a College Station. I think whichever one of those quarterbacks don't win the starting job could potentially be the best backup quarterback in the SEC. I think Haynes King, the sky's the limit for him, and I think Max Johnson's proven that he can play in some big games. What about some other battles around the SEC? Let's go to LSU, the former stopping grounds of Max Johnson. The guy that had the job before he went down was Miles Brennan. He's back after briefly entering the transfer portal and deciding to come back to get some gumbo from Brian Kelly, Southern draw Brian Kelly. Fitting right in there in Louisiana. But he will have to battle out with five-star quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. And then, of course, Arizona State transfer Jaden Daniels. Who's going to be the starter in LSU in Baton Rouge this year? Probably Jaden Daniels if you're placing bets here on futures at betonline.net. But could Miles Brennan potentially be the best backup quarterback in the Southeastern Conference? Let's go to Ole Miss. Jackson Dart coming over from Southern Cal. I thought it was full-fledged slam dunk. Jackson Dart's the guy, right? I mean, he's already appearing on some Heisman, hopefuls, some Heisman odds, all the conversations around Jackson Darts in Oxford right now. But apparently he had a really bad spring, which is not surprising, coming in, learning the playbook, all that type of stuff, a new scheme. Luke Altmaier, who was the guy that came in for Matt Corral here at Neyland Stadium last year that kind of slung it a little bit. Him and Jackson Dart are competing for the starting quarterback job. It will be Jackson Dart. Lane Kiffin will start Jackson Dart. We know this to be true. But could Luke Altmaier be the best backup quarterback in the Southeastern Conference? What about Auburn? Zach Calzada, is he going to be the guy transferring from A&M after knocking off Alabama last year to Auburn? Or is it going to be T.J. Finley once a quarterback at LSU? I think T.J. Finley sucks. Point blank, I think T.J. Finley's not good. I think he's got the body of Tarzan. He plays like Jane. A lot of comparisons to Joe Milton, if we're being completely honest here. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Is it going to be Zach Calzada or T.J. Finley? I believe the quarterback will be Zach Calzada at Auburn. I truly, truly do. So, you know, we'll see exactly what happens there for the Auburn Tigers. And, you know, what about some other quarterbacks around the SEC? Vanderbilt, make all the jokes you want. They played two quarterbacks last 2 years, Ken Seals and Mike Wright. Mike Wright a little bit more mobile. Ken Seals more of a pocket passer. But both of those guys have started games in the SEC for Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's very bad. So you got to continue to mix it up a little bit. Missouri's going to have a quarterback battle. But nobody on Missouri's roster we've heard of with the exception of incoming true freshman quarterback Sam Horn, who was a one-time Tennessee target in the last recruiting cycle. Is it going to be Tyler Macon? Is it going to be Brady Cook? We don't know. Backup quarterbacks elsewhere. Georgia's going to have a starting quarterback battle, but you would think that the reigning national championship winning quarterback, Stetson Bennett, regardless of how minuscule his play can be compared to those around him, there's a reason he started last year. There's a reason Kirby Smart continued to play him over JT Daniels, who's no longer on the team or in the SEC for that matter. He's at West Virginia. There's a reason that he stuck to his guns with Stetson Bennett. It's because he trusts them, and the team rallies and plays behind Stetson Bennett. That's why. But Carson Beck's played a lot of football for Georgia. He wouldn't be a bad option. You got five-star Brock Vandergriff that's sitting there as well. I mean, Georgia's got an embarrassment of riches in quarterbacks, and you know some of these guys are going to go off and play elsewhere if they continue to sit behind Stetson Bennett, in my opinion. Backup quarterback in Kentucky's Bo Allen is a junior. Backup quarterback at South Carolina with Spencer Rattler coming in is Luke Doty, who I was not impressed with against Tennessee, but the new Locked On host for South Carolina loves him some Luke Doty, which is fair. He's a good athlete. I thought he was dealt a bad hand as a true freshman last year, but nonetheless, I was not impressed with him whatsoever when he played Tennessee. At Florida, you've got transfer from Ohio State, Jack Miller, who's a redshirt sophomore, and he is going to back up Anthony Richardson, so there's that. At Alabama, you've got redshirt freshman Jalen Milroe, who's going to back up Bryce Young. And then you've got, of course, true freshman five-star Ty Simpson from Martin, Tennessee, who's back there as well. At Arkansas, you've got Malik Hornsby, a redshirt sophomore, that'll back up KJ Jefferson. And at Mississippi State, you'll have Sawyer Robertson, a redshirt freshman, who will back up Will Rogers. So, of these backup quarterbacks, I think Stetson Bennett will win the job in Georgia. So I think Carson Beck will be the backup at Georgia. I think Jack Miller will be the backup at Florida. I think Bo Allen will be backup at Kentucky. Luke Doty will be the backup at South Carolina. I don't know. I guess it'll be Tyler Macon will be the backup at Missouri. I think probably Ken Seals will be the backup at Vanderbilt. I think Jalen Milroe will be the backup at Alabama. I think probably Max Johnson will be the backup at A&M with Haynes King winning that starting job. I think Miles Brennan will be the backup at LSU with Jaden Daniels winning that starting job. I think Luke Altmaier will be the backup at Ole Miss with Jackson Dart winning that starting job. I think Malik Hornsby will be the backup at Arkansas, Sawyer Robertson at Mississippi State, and I think T.J. Finley will back up Zach Calzada at Auburn. Where does Joe Milton stack up in this conversation? Is Joe Milton better than Carson Beck? Is Joe Milton better than the likes of Miles Brennan, Luke Altmaier, Max Johnson? Is Joe Milton better than T.J. Finley? I think he's better than some of these guys. I would probably rate it as best backup quarterback in the league, number one in A&M and Max Johnson. Number two, likely a split between Milton and Georgia because Georgia's got so many different options. Number three, Miles Brennan. Number four, Luke Altmaier, in my opinion. That's just me. Joe Milton continuously has everything you want in a quarterback. He's got size. He's got stature. He's got athleticism. He has an absolute cannon of an arm, a cannon of an arm. And I do believe that if it would ever just click for him, he would be Cam Newton 2.0. I truly believe that. But I struggle with his want to. I question his want to. Sounds like he is perfectly content, and that's fine, being a backup quarterback, being a teammate, and being a college student athlete, and that's perfectly fine. But this is a guy that started games for two Power 5 programs, used to be juggernauts in Michigan and Tennessee. He's experienced. He is battle-tested. If it would ever click for Joe Milton, he'd be clearly the clear-cut best option to start for the University of Tennessee, but it's not clicked for him yet, and Hendon Hooker's broke out. So obviously you go there, but Joe Milton, I will never forget the ending to the Ole Miss game when just two plays before, with him scrambling out to his right, he throws to the back of the end zone where he finds Cedric Tillman, who is leaping up and just coming up just short from a ball that was placed only to where Cedric Tillman could catch that, which would have been the game touched, which would have been the game winner. And obviously, you know, that was play number like 95 for the offense that game. And you got to think, if it was play number, if it was play number maybe 82, 83, would have Cedric Tillman made that catch? We don't know. We'll never know. But then on the last play of the game, when Cedric Tillman is booted, when Hendon Hooker is knocked out of the football game and Joe Milton comes in here for the last drive, the last play of the game, scrambling left, I was right there. He ran right out of bounds right in front of me on the sideline. And I'm sitting there like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? What a coward. I will never forget that play for as long as I live. What a bum. What, I mean, seriously. Now, giving yourself up on the last play of the game, take a shot at the end zone. If it somehow lands in your receiver's hands, you win the football game. Like, what are you doing? And especially that game, everything that happened, the forward progress, stopping Corral when Tennessee picked up the ball and Barron you thought was going to score, the line to gain that wasn't there for Jacob Warren, the 30-minute delay with, you know, people throwing stuff onto the field, and for that game to end that way with Joe Milton running out of bounds, I will never forget that. I mean, you know, I'm sure he got that. I'm sure he's gotten that in the film room. I'm sure he'll never live that down either. I don't know what he was thinking. But that being said, I still think that if Tennessee had to go to its number two, it's in position to win some football games compared to some of the other teams around the SEC. Maybe not as well positioned as A&M. Maybe not as well positioned as Georgia. Maybe not even as well positioned as LSU or Auburn on a good day. But I do believe Joe Milton is one of the better backup options in the SEC. And I think Tennessee's got a luxury of having two veteran quarterbacks in its room right now that seem to be loving working together and coaching each other up. All right, fun episode today, guys. Thank you so much for dialing in and making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. And that second listen, let's check out the Locked On NBA Big Board Podcast, where they give fans in-depth looks at the biggest prospects, latest player rankings, and, of course, the big boards. Locked On NBA Big Board every single day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcast. Guys, thank you so much. We'll come back here on a Friday in the week off strong. Can't wait for it. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.